This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, it's that time of year again. The annual enrollment starts next week for Obamacare. And even if you're healthy, the hike in premiums are enough to make you sick. Congressman Ralph Abraham, a doctor, joins me with a prescription for the dramatic rise in health care costs. Also, is the Army ready? That's what General Mark Miley, Chief of Staff of the Army, rhetorically asked in an interview with the Associated Press. Ready for what, you might ask? Ready to fight and defend America? Ready to defeat ISIS? No. Ready to accommodate transgendered soldiers? Where will this roulette wheel of social experimentation stop? Retired Army Colonel and now Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma may have an answer. And what do the latest WikiLeaks hacked emails have to say about the Clinton campaign? We'll talk about that a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guests, the topics we're covering. Also, today, we have a survey. We've had this out to some of our supporters. We sent out an email earlier today. And just asking, do you plan on voting? All right, just trying to do a survey here to see if folks are going to vote. And then kind of get a gauge on what are the most important issues that you have that you consider when you go to the polls to vote. Now, already those that have taken the survey, and I would expect nothing less from our supporters, but we're at about, 99.6% say they will vote. All right. I wonder what our Washington Watch listeners would say. When they talk about issues, I was a little surprised at this. I mean, not completely surprised, but a little surprised on how strong it was. In terms of the issues, I'm not going to tell you what they all are. You can go to TonyPerkins.com and take the survey yourself. But the number one issue by far, 96% say the number one issue is religious freedom. And you know what? I think they're right, because everything else hinges on that fundamental freedom. You can take the survey. Go to TonyPerkins.com. I'd be interested to know what you think. Are you going to vote, number one? And secondly, what are the most important issues to you as you approach November the 8th? All right. Premiums for Obamacare. November 1st, the exchange is open again. It's time where you either sign up for Obamacare or you will be penalized. Well, once again, we see a tremendous increase in healthcare premiums. On average, this is average, okay? On average, it's going to be close to a 25% increase for the benchmark plan. In fact, Donald Trump was speaking about this earlier. I got a quick soundbite from Donald Trump, and I want to bring our guest in. Let's hear what Donald Trump had to say about the increase in Obamacare cost.
The White House, our president, announced 25 or 26%. That number is so wrong. That is such a phony number. You're talking about 60, 70, 80% in increases, not 25%.
When you look at isolated states, yeah. I mean, it's much, much higher. It's a disaster. It's the only way you can describe Obamacare. Fewer and fewer providers, and the only people who are signing up are people who are really sick. Because you really have to be desperate to get Obamacare. Well, is there a prescription to stop the runaway health care costs and save our health care system? That's what I'll ask our first guest, Louisiana Congressman and medical doctor, Dr. Ralph Abraham. He's chairman of the Subcommittee on Disability Assistance and Memorial Affairs and on the Subcommittee on Health. As a family doctor at a rural clinic, Dr. Abraham has seen time and time again how broken Obamacare really is. His hands have been tied by the government in a way he provides health care to his patients, as other doctors are as well. Ralph, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Good to be here.
Are you surprised by the numbers, the percentage increases we're seeing in the premium cost under Obamacare?
Oh, not at all. And Trump is going to be right. The 25% number is not going to be right at all. I mean, you look at Arizona, they're looking at 115 to 116% increase. And what I can tell you is across the nation, it's going to be in the 40 to 60% range. I truly believe that. Because, as you've alluded to, it's the sicker people that are signing up. You can wait until you get sick to sign up. Then you can, once you get well, you can get out and not pay any premiums. And then when you get sick again, you can simply go back in to the exchange and sign back up. So it's just ludicrous that the way the law was written. And what they're not telling you is that even with the Affordable Care Act being instituted, we still have over 30 million Americans that are uninsured. And so the numbers that are coming from the Obama administration, I am very, very skeptical of.
Well, I mean, first off, the whole thing defies the basic principles of economics, supply and demand, and you're right. The way it's written, you don't have to, you can get it right on your way to the hospital and
That's
you'll be
correct.
Covered. And so, the whole idea of the way this thing works is that, you know, people are in a pool, some people need it, some people don't, and therefore it offsets the cost that those who need it will have. But there's another side to this, and one of the reasons I want your perspective on this as one of a number of doctors that actually are serving now in Congress is the impact this is actually having on healthcare itself, the quality of our healthcare delivery system.
Well, it is having a tremendous effect on quality, because the quality that we are able to provide is not what it should be, unfortunately, because of this program under Obamacare. I can practice in one specialist that will take Obamacare. So if I have a patient that needs a gastroenterologist, a surgeon, you name the specialty, then I have to look beyond the borders of my area, and therefore that puts undue burden on the patient. The patient's probably not going to see their doctor if he or she could, as far as time constraints are. And again, this plays over and over a million times throughout the U.S. every day.
So, Congressman Abraham, what you're saying then is that you have a lot of doctors that are finding ways to establish practices outside the government system. They're not involved in it.
Yeah, much so. And it's not easy because, again, once you get on the government's roll, getting off literally takes an act of Congress almost. And, again, they want you on there so they can dictate as to what you will and will not accept. The other issue that people really aren't attuned to is how restrictive the prescription formulary is. I have actually had a patient, more than one, where I've had to look at four different drugs before I found one that the Obamacare formulary would pay for it. Now, that's not the drug that I initially wanted to give the patient because it's not on the list. Therefore, that patient probably is not going to get well as quick, probably going to end up in the ER, probably end up coming back to the doctor. And again, there you go with the circle that it just increases health costs exponentially because they just won't listen to what people like myself and certainly people smarter than me tell them how this thing should be run. But I think when it was being written, there were no medical doctors on the initial draft of the bill.
So what you have, Congressman Abraham, you're talking about, you have bureaucrats essentially inserting themselves between a doctor and the patient in terms of what the doctor feels the best regimen is for that patient.
And you're exactly right. And, the hidden cost here, and with these increased premiums, just come in uncovered, but there were over $1 trillion of tax increases in the Obamacare legislation. There were 21 new taxes added to Obamacare, and people can certainly Google that and look it up, and they're going to be amazed at what they're actually paying for and where they're paying it that they didn't even know about.
So we're paying a whole lot more for a whole lot less. That's typical government.
And with these, increased premiums, the government is trying to say, the bureaucrats are saying, well, it's not going to affect the patients because they're going to increase the subsidy. Well, I guess we fixed that deal. The good old American taxpayer again. It's like everybody listening, you and I, we're on the hook for this money, and it's got to stop. We get to the point in this country where we are out of control with our debt and with our spending, and this is just going to just throw gasoline on the fire.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. But it's back to work. We're now talking about Obamacare. It's time for the fall enrollment. Projections on increases, once again, very high, depending on what state you're in. Congressman Abraham, all right, let me ask you this question. That is, what is the prescription to stop the runaway cost that we're seeing under Obamacare, and how can we restore our health care delivery system to a way that it actually works for the average American?
The Obamacare model is not salvageable in any way. You could not throw enough life preservers to keep it from drowning in its own abyss. So it's got to be thrown out, and there is a plan. There are actually two, maybe three good plans in Congress that would work today. You would have to certainly phase out the Obamacare model over a period of maybe 2 to 3 months just to have the program in. But we get to the point in Congress where we have been looking at this for literally almost 2 years now, very seriously. I'm on the doctor's caucus, and this is one of the main things that we discuss every time we meet is how to get out of the Affordable Care Act and put something in place that actually works. So when President Obama and his administration says that systems don't have a plan, they have a plan. It's a very good plan. It works. It puts the doctors and the patient back in charge of their health care so they can talk one-on-one to decide what's best for him or her and get the government, especially as far as health care is concerned.
Very good. One final question for you, Congressman Abraham. When you look at this election that's before us, coming up in about 2 weeks, just a little over 2 weeks, will that make a difference, the way this election goes, to the topic we're talking about, the future of Obamacare?
Trump has said that in the first 100 days he would allow us to repeal Obamacare, which we have done in the House, and he would actually sign it, whereas President Obama has vetoed it. So that was, Obamacare would go away under Trump, and we would replace it with a very good, affordable, workable plan. Now, if Hillary gets the president, she has said that all she is going to do is keep pouring money into the Obamacare debacle, and it's just going to get worse and worse. So I don't think the lines between the two candidates would be more stark than on this one issue, the Obamacare issue.
Hmm. All right, Congressman Ralph Abraham, thanks so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, y'all. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Congressman Ralph Abraham, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined with Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma talking about the Army. Are they ready? The Army Chief of Staff saying they're ready. They're ready. What are they ready for? To defend the country? To defeat ISIS? No, no. They're ready to force soldiers to accommodate transgenderism. Today's Army. All right, folks, that's what we're talking about when we come back. Wow, can't make this stuff up. Also, we're going to be talking about the latest dump of WikiLeaks emails from the Clinton campaign. What do they say? We're going to talk about that as well here on this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Pain. We all know what it feels like. We all try to avoid it. But did you know we likely started feeling pain at a very young age, well before we were born? Scientific studies are showing that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or even earlier. The medical research is on our side. It supports our legislative efforts to protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetalpain. That is frc.org/fetalpain.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
It's time again to bless lives with American Family Radio and Operation Christmas Child.
I was born and raised in Ukraine. There are so many children out there just like me who have never heard of Jesus or experienced his everlasting love. This shoebox changes lives like it changed mine so many years ago.
National Collection Week is November 14th through the 21st. Get more information at SamaritansPurse.org. And thanks for partnering with American Family Radio to share the love of Christ through Operation Christmas Child.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Look, the website survey. Are you going to vote in 2 weeks? Or you could early vote. Either one. In fact, I would encourage you to vote early if you can. Many states started yesterday, today. Louisiana, my home state, started today. We'll go for about a week. So anyway. Are you going to vote? Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, take our poll, and also indicate what are the most important issues that you believe are represented in this election cycle. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, earlier this summer, the Department of Defense announced new transgender policies, ending the ban on transgender Americans serving in the military. This was a unilateral decision by the Obama administration, did not go through Congress. In fact, many members of Congress asked questions about it, said they wanted to have hearings on it, and the president clearly wanting to push this through before his term ends. Well, joining me now to talk about this, Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma. He's the vice chair of the Subcommittee on National Security and the member of the House Armed Services Committee. He had a 21-year career in the United States Army. He completed the rigorous U.S. Army Ranger School and deployed to assignments in various parts of the world. In fact, his unit played a key part in capturing Saddam Hussein. And before we get into the impact on this transgender policy and what it's going to have, the impact it's going to have on our military, I want to ask the congressman about something else that's popping up today that he's been working on. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch. Good to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, you had an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act a few months back, that protects the liberty, religious liberty of contractors. Now, all of a sudden, the left is going crazy about this. You would think it would be non-controversial, but it's controversial to some. Why?
Yeah, they're using this contracting amendment to make it into an issue that suits their agenda, but has nothing to do with what the amendment is. They claim that it will discriminate against the LGBTQ community, which it has nothing to even do with any of that. I did the amendment because there was conflicting guidance issued by the president that conflicted with the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1990 Americans with Disability Act that allowed religious exemptions for groups that have religious charters. In the military, Department of Defense contracts with World Vision Catholic Charities, a lot of great groups out there that for decades we've bumped into them on battlefields. They help war refugees. They provide relief to the suffering. They do marvelous work. And they have religious charters, which means that they, you know, have people hire that adhere to their faith. And so we just said, look, we want to uphold this according to the current law and make a clarification there. Well, they've tried to turn this in saying it prohibits LGBTQ groups from being able to contract. False. Has nothing to do with any of that. It actually prevents discrimination against those that hold religious faith.
So what it does, and I'm putting this out because I'm very familiar with what it does. We were very glad that you introduced it. Helped.
Which we really appreciated your assistance when we were going through a lot of this.
Because it simply says you cannot be penalized as a religious organization. As you said, you made very clear it has a religious charter. So we're talking about religious organizations that have statements of faith and well-established beliefs. They cannot be excluded from being engaged or in receiving a government contract because of those beliefs, and they cannot be forced to abandon those beliefs. That's it, right?
That's correct. And here's the greater implication. Okay, number one, if these groups are discriminated against on being awarded contracts, then the services that they provide, which are immense, those services are
right.
not going to be replaced. They just disappear. The second thing is, if we remove all of the sexual topics out of it and we stick to something else, let's say that me as a Southern Baptist man, that I make application to a position for a nun in Catholic Charities. All right, so now they have to hire me because they would be discriminating against me based upon gender and faith, religion. Well, yes, technically I might read it that way, but no, they have a right to have a position for a nun and hire somebody, to hire a sister to come in and do the work for Catholic Charities. It's absurd how we have so twisted things where we can no longer allow people to freely exercise religious faith, which is guaranteed in the First Amendment.
Yeah, that would be crazy because then you'd have a brother being a sister, and
that would be
nonsense, right?
Well, me as a Southern Baptist man, I have no desire to wreck the great work that Catholic Charities does. As a warrior on a battlefield, I've seen the fantastic work that they do. You know, why would I want to meddle with that? I mean, they provide wonderful services. And then if you have somebody that is of some sexual orientation, if they want a contract with defense contractors, well, guess what? They can do that.
Right,
already.
They can.
But my amendment does nothing against that.
Does not prohibit
it. What it does do is protect the free exercise and religious charters of contractors.
Here's the two things I see about this. They're not wanting to necessarily do away with these services. That's a byproduct of this. Their greater focus, and this is what I see this as, is simply excluding. They want to completely eliminate those that have orthodox biblical views.
Absolutely. And the sad thing is, as we've seen in healthcare and we've seen in education and we've seen so many aspects of our country, if they eliminate these services, they're not replaced. They disappear. People suffer. Poor are not fed. War refugees are not relieved. Suffering on a major scale occurs because no one's going to step up and do what these groups do.
Right, right. Hey, Congressman, we're up against a break, but 30 seconds quickly. The Obama administration pushing through this transgender policy, are you concerned about its implication on our military's readiness?
Well, very much so. Look, we have a reset of the Cold War. We have incredible challenges in South China Sea and with Asia policy. We've got a longtime ally with the Philippines, going off the rails. We've got so many things to worry about. We do not need to be wasting $60,000, $75,000 for operations that have no bearing on military readiness. This is just, again, a misguided Secretary of Defense with misguided policy.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. Congressman Russell, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Thank you.
All right, Congressman Steve Russell. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to be talking a lot more to still talk about. Let me get that out. All those words coming out at one time. Here on Washington Watch, we're going to be talking about the one of the latest dumps of WikiLeaks emails on the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, and a little commentary here. I want to talk about something I read, and then we're going to be taking some phone calls a little later here on Washington Watch. Okay? Go to the website, take the poll, TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Some important numbers, as I mentioned yesterday, coming out in the economy. One of the things that I find interesting, I've been talking about earnings, and of course this week, one-third of all S&P 500 companies will be reporting earnings just this week. Goldman Sachs yesterday lowered its outlook for S&P 500 earnings. A little behind the curve there, but nonetheless, they lowered their expectations for 2016 and for 2017. They're putting the blame primarily on tech companies, but nonetheless, it looks like lower expectations for next year as well. That is not good news. The conversation this week, healthcare. Why? Because November 1st is when all of the exchange companies that would be Obamacare healthcare providers will be talking about their price increases. On average, across the nation, costs are going up 25%. And that also reminds us that over one-third of all the counties in the country will only have one healthcare provider. Needless to say, that provider is going to have a field day with not only your healthcare costs, but the quality of healthcare. You will be at the mercy of those companies when it comes to the kind of care you get, what is approved, how much you pay, what out-of-pocket expenses will be, and there will be little recourse, of course, unless Obamacare is repealed.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. You can keep up with me on Twitter. Also, every morning, got a little devotional tweet to start your day. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at TPerkins. All right, the WikiLeaks emails continue to come in. Again, I don't condone the fact that these rogue operators were hacking into people's emails. You know, there's an old adage, not to put things in writing that you don't want people to see. Don't say things over the phone you can say in person. Basically, don't say things you don't want other people to hear. But anyway, the latest round has some interesting things in regards to this was John Podesta, campaign chairman for Hillary Clinton. This was my attorney pitch for Hillary. And, of course, this is what we've been talking about, the importance of this election, keeping your eye focused on what's at the center of this election. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But here, quoting from the email from John Podesta, which, according to Hillary Clinton, was hacked by the Russians. Yes, the Russians. So, anyway, they're all about trying to keep her from becoming president because they're so afraid of her. Here's what the email says. If Hillary Clinton is elected president in 2016, John Podesta writing to an attorney, and is able to replace Ginsburg, Breyer, and either Kennedy or Scalia, she will lock in a very young liberal court for many decades to come. This new court would surely cement the Roe v. Wade decision and reverse this Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United, which, by the way, is a case which allowed more freedom to compete with trade unions. And the unions that fleece their members for political donations and then use it for Democrats, this basically leveled the playing field. And continuing on with the email, which allows big corporations and billionaires like George Soros that helps Democrats? Oh, no. To lurk in the shadows and influence legislation by allowing for limitless political contributions. If you have no other political agenda but to protect our civil liberties, like a woman's right to choose, or if you believe that we should not allow big corporations and billionaires to have limitless influence on our government, then vote for Hillary. Yes, folks, I agree with John Podesta. That's what's at stake, the sanctity of human life, because the balance of the very court, the Supreme Court, which unfortunately is taking on a much bigger role in our society than it should, but it's the reality, and that's what's at stake in this election. Here was another email. This was in yesterday's dump from Podesta's emails, and it was apparently in communications with the White House, where it shows the Obama transition team kept a list of Muslims and Asian candidates for jobs in the administration. And it goes on to say a bunch of stuff, but basically this follows a pattern of the Obama administration using race and religion to determine hiring, and other leaked emails showing potential political appointees being labeled with an F for female, B for black, H for Hispanic, and M for Muslim. And the Middle Eastern Christians, even though they had, I mean, they were from the Middle East, didn't matter, but if they were identified as Christians, they were purposely excluded and set aside in separate list because they wanted to make sure they got Muslims. So that's what we've actually been saying all along. And now all this stuff is coming true. I mean, it's being proved to be true from these emails that have been hacked. And there's still more to come on those emails. All right. Hey, if you haven't taken that survey yet, go take the survey at TonyPerkins.com. Whether or not you plan on voting in this election, and what are the driving issues for you? That's what we want to talk about here. All right, I'm looking for my notes because I have to. I want to address something. I don't do this very often because, frankly, I don't want to waste my time. I typically follow Nehemiah's example from the Book of Nehemiah when Sanballat and Tobiah. Remember those two guys? Those goofballs, they were trying to get him to come down off the wall and engage in this meaningless conversation. They simply, I mean, essentially, they just wanted to stop the wall from being built. And so he said, no, I'm not. The work's too important. I'm not going to come down to talk with you. But there are times, I believe, when misguided statements need to be challenged. And there was one I read in Reuters. It was a commentary by Alan Wolf, a professor of political science at Boston College. He published this op-ed in Reuters, as I mentioned, regarding the presidential election and evangelicals. He says, quote, Donald Trump's words and actions have torn asunder whatever unity American evangelicals once possessed, end quote. Now, he's obviously never attended a Baptist business meeting. But he goes on to say that the question is whether the so-called Christian religious right should put faith or politics first, end quote. Now, the answer to that is quite obvious. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Speaking of the necessities of life. Well, Wolf continues, and I will too, on the other side of this break. And then we're going to go to the phone lines. But I want you to hear this because this is a part of the left that is trying to suppress the turnout of Christians, evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians, and you need to understand what they're doing and how they're doing it. And we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, and then we're going to be talking to you. 866-372-7234 is the number when we open up the phone lines here in just a moment. In the meantime, the website, TonyPerkins.com, you can take the survey, do you plan on voting, and what are the three most important political issues to you this year? Again, you can take that at TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We're coming back on the other side of this break.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of healthcare. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. Okay. All right. I want to finish this. Then we're going to go to the phone lines. And by the way, this is what I want to ask you today. And it goes along with a survey, and it goes along with what I'm going to talk about right here. I want to know, do you plan on voting? Maybe you've already voted, or maybe you early voted, voted by mail. But do you plan on voting? Have you voted? Do you plan on voting? If so, why? If not, why not? Okay? No. I just want to hear. And anyway. Okay. Let me go back. 866-372-7234. All right. Let me go back to this piece in Reuters by Alan Wolf, a professor of political science at Boston College. This was an op-ed he published in Reuters. All right, and so I'm going to continue. He says, should people of faith aim to reform this world through legislation, lobbying, and court decisions? Or should their eyes be on creating a beloved community in the world beyond, honoring the Lord and living in accordance with his teachings? End quote. Okay, so those two approaches are mutually exclusive. That's what he would suggest by putting it that way. I mean, who says that working to shape the outcome of elections or public policy is designed to reform this world? I've never said that. In fact, the election, as with any election, is not about electing someone who is going to spiritually reform America. It's about electing individuals who respect the rights of Christians and others to live by their faith and fully engage as citizens of this country according to their faith. And we're seeing increasingly under this administration where you are penalized for your faith. You have to check your faith at the door of public service and now even more so of public discussion. Now, the piece continues. Quote, for the past generation or two, evangelical leaders focused primarily on the world around us. They formed an alliance with the Republican Party and created litmus tests to earn their support, often based on hot issues of the day, such as abortion, gay marriage, and a more public role for religion. Their ranks include Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, and hardline Republican activists such as Ralph Reed. These men looked more comfortable with poll numbers and electoral strategies than with sinful nature of man, end quote. Well, Mr. Wolf obviously has never seen me preach. I am actually much more comfortable in the pulpit than on the political stage. And I have never suggested that America's future is to be determined by political engagement. In fact, I come to my political engagement because of my faith. I'm not replacing my faith with it. I'm involved because I'm told to be. I'm told to be salt and light. I'm told in the Great Commission to go out and disciple people. That, yes, to baptize them and make disciples out of them. But also Jesus said in Matthew 28, to teach them all things that I've taught you. So it's not just about the spiritual. It is also about the present environment. Well, let me continue here. This identification with the Republican Party and its platforms, especially in the area of Trump, no longer holds much attraction among a new generation of evangelicals for whom faith is sacred and politics profane. So that's suggesting that faith is not sacred to those who engage in politics. Again, it's very subtle the way he's working these things in here. Continuing, these believers, younger, more ethnically and racially diverse, increasingly mobile, and reliant on social media, are seeking religious leaders who speak to their spiritual sensibilities. What does that mean? Well, we find the answer about a paragraph later. Quote, to the younger and more spiritual, all those over 30 who believe that they should influence the world around them are not spiritual. I got it. To the younger and more spiritual, Trump is not a good man, at least as they conceive it, and thus could not make a good president. That is why most evangelicals, and that was the end of his quote, and that's why most evangelicals that I know, with the exception of two, did not support Trump when there were other options available. So the question is, what would Mr. Wolf suggest that evangelicals do now? I mean, you have a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So what would he suggest that we do? Well, again, he provides the answer. Quoting from St. Augustine from his writings in the City of God, quote, that they either try to change the city of man and thus run the risk of endangering their purity, or focus on the city of God and thereby concede influence on the present moment, end quote. So essentially, he's saying they should retreat from the public square. But in a society that is governed by the people, remember, we have a unique, in terms of the history of man, a very unique arrangement in that we are the government. We are the people. We're a government, as Abraham Lincoln said, of the people, for the people, and by the people. So how does that work if we retreat? And we go, and he even goes on to talk about it, the Scopes trial and how evangelicals retreated into the wilderness during that time to regroup. So he's suggesting a similar track, that we should, just because the choice before us is not good, that we should then retreat. Well, let me tell you how that works out. It doesn't, especially when this may be the only moment that we have. There may not be a tomorrow to engage in the political process. Based on where this country has gone in the last 8 years and where Hillary Clinton has said she wants to take America. Folks, this is the type of stuff that is very skillfully and craftily, crafted very carefully to dissuade Christians from their responsibility, Bible-believing Christians from their responsibility to deal with the situation that's before them. It's not one of necessarily of their making, although I would argue it is, because we have neglected our responsibility and therefore we have this choice. But nonetheless, it is the choice that's before us. And nowhere does the scripture say that we can wash our hands of it and somehow not be held accountable. Oh, there was one guy who washed his hands of it, but he was still held accountable. All right, folks. Yes, that kind of stuff works me up. 866-372-7234. We're going to go straight to Missouri where Bob is on the line. Bob, are you voting?
Hello?
Hello, Bob. Are you there? Bob, do we have you? Hello, Bob. All right. Let's move on. Let's go to Ohio where Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Yes, I am voting. I am voting for Trump. And the reason why is because, you know, when I started voting, I only started voting this year because I'm a Christian. And I feel like I have to because I cannot. Abortion, it's wrong. It's unchristianly. Homosexuality is unchristianly. You know, and obviously that's a big part of her platform. So I started listening and I started watching, and I'm open-minded. The more that I listen, you know, it's no longer about voting for Trump because just to be against Hillary. He has some good ideas. I'm hoping that the stuff that he does, he really brings to the country because he is bringing a lot of stuff there to us if he gets in. And I was listening to what you were talking about the Christianity stuff like that, the faith, you know, being a person of faith and voting. And if you want to upset some Christians, I've done this. The worst thing I guess you can do is post on Facebook and say a Christian cannot vote for Hillary because abortion is against the Bible, homosexuality is against the Bible. That really flares up a lot of tension.
Well, I imagine it does. yes, I'm sure it does. But Charles, one of the things we do is simply point to the party platform, right? And that's for those that, again, are having issues with the candidates, go to the party platform. You can actually see it at the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can share it with your friends. You can either download it, print it, or there's a short video you can watch. But to Charles's point, look, the issue of life, the issue of marriage, all of these issues are clearly, never before have they been so clearly articulated in both party platforms, and at no time in the past have they been more diametrically opposed. They're completely opposite. Very, very clear. Very, very clear. All right. 866-372-7234. And let's go to Illinois where Terry is on the line. Terry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I am from Granite City, Illinois, and we're a big steel town. And, it's always been very Democrat-based. Because of all the unions and everything, but I've never really been Democrat since I've been old enough to vote. I'm 48 now, and we've seen lines and lines and lines at just the police station the other day supporting them, and the police are supporting Trump this year, which is just a big shocker that our whole town is leaning that way. And the reason I'm voting for Trump myself this time, there's many reasons. The main reason I see this could be my last opportunity for a peaceful resolution to fix our country again. It's just turned so dishonest and evil with all the other agendas going on in Washington and everything. And this could be, I'm really hoping that Trump is an honest person and he's going to clean house on both sides and get rid of all the corruption.
That's interesting, Terry. Very interesting, because that is I agree with your assessment. I think every election is critical, but I think this one is just super critical because of what has been put in place and the momentum that's been created by the liberal policies of the Obama administration. Look, we were just talking about healthcare and how it's destroying our healthcare system and the cost associated with it. And we're talking about the military and what he's done to the military, decimating our military, both from a material standpoint and a moral standpoint. I don't think we can sustain another 4 years of that. And that's what gets at the heart of what some of these, some evangelicals saying, well, let's just, and what this writer who was trying to feed that and seed this idea into the minds of evangelicals, well, you can just retreat. You don't want to soil your image and soil your reputation by getting involved in dirty politics. Well, folks, the reason politics is dirty is because Christians haven't been involved in it. And again, this is in part our making, because we have neglected our responsibility. And just because the choice before us is not pleasing, doesn't mean that we can simply walk away from it. And look, I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it, I don't know how many times I've said it, thousands, probably thousands of times. Look, what ails America at its core is not political. It is spiritual. America needs a spiritual revival. Look, you don't change, I mean, the liberals did this, the great society, you don't change man by changing his environment, you change the environment by changing his heart. I get it. I believe it. That's Christianity. But you don't neglect the environment to solely focus on the heart. You focus on the heart. But you're also working to create an environment in which a heart can be reached and a heart can be cultivated and a life can be transformed. But when you have policies from a government that says, oh, you can't talk about your faith, you can't have a Bible on the desk, you cannot in any form or fashion publicly identify with biblical morality. Well, how then are you going to transform hearts when you can't even talk about the truth that transforms? That's what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about retaining the ability, and it's been diminished greatly under this administration. But what we're talking about in this election is the ability, as Terry was talking about, is preserving what's left so that we can maybe, and I'm not looking to Donald Trump or any political candidate to do this. I'm looking for elected leaders to abide by the Constitution as it was intended and as it was written to give us the space, to live our lives according to our faith, so that we might share our faith with others and see lives transformed. So what happens in this election if we see a party prevail that actually recognizes God and religious liberty and the sanctity of human life, if we see a party such as that prevail and honors religious liberty, then we have to go to work. And not in political organizing. We need to go to work evangelizing and living out our faith boldly in every aspect of our lives, whether we're students, whether we're public employees or private employees. Folks, it is time. It is time that we stop shrinking back into the shadows, that we stop allowing the left to silence us out of fear that someone might post something on Facebook about us or say, folks, I'm beyond that. I really am. I mean, there is too much at stake. It is time to take a stand. Folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of you on the phones. I appreciate you calling in today. I really do. And I'm going to budget more time tomorrow for phone calls so that we can get to your calls tomorrow, because this is important stuff and I want to hear from you. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. Yes. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, don't run away. Don't hide in the shadows. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.